Okay, here we are back. Let me pull something up real quick. We're trying to track this. We talked about it last night a little bit. India. This is potentially going to be the next big wrinkle. I don't think the Delta variant fear porn is going to work. India. Black. Oh, this is real creepy. If you missed last night, you don't want to miss this one. Erica Khan joins us this hour, her weekly visit to give us her view and analyses of what's going on. And every week that goes by, we seem to learn a little bit more, not through books, not through the insiders, but we have to piece it together on the outside. There's a lot of intuitive science involved. There's a lot of data gathering and an awful lot of work. Erica, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Jeff. Good to be back again.
Okay. Doing my update. Last night, I had a story that in India, they're now reporting 40,800 cases of the black mold disease. Now, is the black mold outbreak directly tied to the VAX program in India? Probably. I don't know that we can quantify it exactly yet, but Indian black mold update. Let's see what they say here. It's mucormycosis is the formal name. Black fungus, all right, it's what people have in their homes here in the U.S., right? It's the same kind of thing. But if it starts growing in your nose and your sinuses and goes into your brain,
I think that's actually a different type.
The
black mold that's so insidious here and toxic is Stachybotrys,
that's
a different...
Yeah. People are getting
confused. There's many types of fungus, you know, and the spores are in the environment, and they're typically not a problem unless you're, you know, immune compromised or you're overloaded with them.
Right. I've seen it, unfortunately, confused stories out of India, other places. There's just so much noise and information and disinformation and confusion and fear and pseudo-journalists trying to put things together. Here we go. This is good. It's just a couple days old. I want to go through this real quick. Six updates on the black fungus plaguing India's COVID-19 patients. So there's a direct tie-in with that title there. More than 28,000 cases of mucormycosis. Now, the number we got yesterday was 40,800. Huge number. A deadly infection known as black fungus have now been reported among COVID-19 patients in India. For hundreds, the only treatment option has been eye removal. That was reported in the Washington Post on June 23rd. Mucormycosis is a form of flesh-eating fungus that destroys tissues as it grows. And if you really want to see something horrific, just do a search for Indian black fungus and hit images, okay? Dr. Akshay Nair and, what the hell is this? Oculoplastic surgeon. Interesting. I guess he does plastic surgery of the eye. Treating mucormycosis patients in Mumbai told the Post. He said, if it involves the sinus, they have to be cleared. If it involves the eye, the eyeball, the lids, the muscles around the eye have to be removed, leaving behind the bare bony socket. Well, there's a kind of a snazzy update to the upcoming zombie apocalypse. Wow. Had you heard that one before? I hadn't.
In terms of how to treat this mold?
The only thing they're treating it with is excision, apparently.
Yes, I have heard that. I find it hard to believe that they could offer that surgery to everybody. I mean, that's for the number of people that are affected and the extreme burden it would be on the healthcare system. Of course, you know, the people that need treatment aren't getting treatment.
It's not something you'd see in a DIY kit. Okay, you're not going to do your own. So it would have to be done in a hospital setting. 41,000 cases already now. And this it's not slowing down. But what would happen if this kind of is it formally a fungus or a mold? Or do we? They're using the terms in this story interchangeably. What do we want to go with?
Well, it's technically a fungus once it starts to sprout its hyphae and invade the body, mm-hmm. which is what it's doing. It gains entry to the entire body through the endothelium, which is the lining of your blood vessels. So that's how it becomes disseminated. And it typically, you know, enters through the respiratory tract, through the sinus cavity, because, you breathe in the spores, and then they take hold. But and the question is, why is it happening?
That was what I was going to ask. Why all of a sudden, what's the link, what's the connection? So here are the 10 updates. No, 6 updates. While the rare infection has long been around in India, physicians have seen significant upticks since January. In a typical year, Dr. Nair would treat 10 patients with fungal infection. This year, he's seen over 100. Number 2, for patients who develop a mucormycosis infection in the eye, the survival rate is 70%. If it spreads to the brain, the chances of survival drop to between 10 and 15%. I mean, you can't just go in there and take the brain out and get rid of that fungus and work.
No.
Those with weakened immune systems, including diabetic patients, are at highest risk for infection. In May, an international health expert told USA Today that India has a high prevalence of uncontrolled diabetes fueled by a lack of routine screening. Well, the lack of screening isn't going to cause diabetes, I'm sorry. Up to 75% of mucormycosis cases, God, that's logic, isn't it? No screening, that's why. All right. Up to 75% of mucormycosis cases occur among COVID-19 patients. And we all know that COVID-19 patients usually have the flu or the test is bogus, so we don't know really how many have it. In about half of those cases, patients were previously undiagnosed with diabetes. Damn, they're just not testing enough. That's what's causing the diabetes. I'm going to complain. I've had it. I'm done with this stuff. Steroids are widely used in India to treat COVID-19 patients. Steroids can make patients more vulnerable to fungal infections by raising blood sugar levels. Number 5. For some COVID patients, symptoms of the fungal infection arise within days of contracting the virus. But we don't really know if they have the virus, so. All right, the last one. I don't know about it. That was the last one. They only gave me 5. See, they can't be trusted. It said 6 in the headline. All right, anyway, what we have here is something that likes moist, warm environments, right? As fungi do, but it goes into the brain. Now, my question: Are they deep diving on these nasal tests in India and pushing up against that thin bony plate that's barely covered with a little bit of mucous membrane? And if so, is the fungus going in that way?
That's a logical assumption. It can't be ruled out. The interesting thing is, I don't know what proportion of India received the vax, but they were heavily involved in the trials that went on for much of last summer, both with AstraZeneca and Pfizer. So I would say that whatever's happening in India can be expected to happen everywhere else, because they're just a little bit ahead of us in the timeline of the vaccine having been rolled out. But it's clear, I, in my opinion, that these vaccines are immune suppressive. They're not offering any protection, and if anything, they're making people more susceptible to not just COVID, but a variety of other infections, be it bacterial or viral or fungal.
Oh, we haven't seen anything yet. Wait till this gets going, and so many people who have been vaxxed suffer immunological dysfunction or failure. The door is open. You're going to see more. Go ahead.
As far as the adenovirus vectors go, there is research indicating that 2 to 3 months after having a vaccine of this kind, this vector vaccine, the CD8 cells, which are part of your T cells, are not normal. If you don't have normal CD8 cells, you're immune suppressed. It's similar to HIV. I mean, HIV, it involves the CD4 cells, but these are critical cells for your immune system. And we all know what happens, having witnessed 30 years of HIV, what that does when you don't have normally functioning CD4 cells. Well, you need your CD8 cells too. And these people who have gotten the AstraZeneca or the J&J, you know, that would be a predictable outcome based on the existing research.
What are your thoughts about, and I made this point last night, this is, let's be honest, this whole thing has been essentially predicated on fear and the successful sowing of fear in the populace. That's what this is all 2020 was all about, fear. All right. These pictures of people with this black fungus are so horrific. And you just suggested that India may be not quite in step with us, that we're going to see it here. Would you think we're going to see it here? There was some talk about what's causing it, but they're linked to the vax, or they're linked to the virus.
Yeah, and that's what's not being talked about in any of these puff pieces they're putting out. There's no mention of the vax having been a contributing factor in the development of these cases.
None.
And the fact that it's being omitted and not even a consideration, that should be suspect. They're just, they want us to believe that these people were unlucky or irresponsible and didn't do the right thing and get the vax, and now they're paying the price. Which,
here's another one. Go ahead, finish.
I think quite the opposite is true. I think these people probably have been vaxxed and they're suffering the consequences of it now.
And they're not talking about it.
Right.
Remember, the media over there is just as controlled as the media over here is. Why? Here's one from Scientific American. Why the deadly black fungus is ravaging COVID patients in India? I think COVID patients means anyone who's been vaxxed. That's how I believe they're writing this headline.
Yeah.
Standard treatments such as steroids, as well as illnesses like diabetes, such as conditions like a lack of diabetes testing, make the fungal infection worse. See, that guy actually wrote that in that story. All right, so we got black
fungus. We don't have
fungus.
Diabetes here, though.
No, of course not. No. The hospital, Scientific American writes, the hospital of the Mahatma Gandhi Institute of Medical Sciences, a medical school in the town of Sevagram in the Indian state of Maharashtra, has been taking in patients afflicted with COVID since May 2020. But in the middle of last month, something changed. Patients arrived with problems the physicians there had not yet seen in the pandemic. People were not only breathless and feverish, yet had pain and pressure behind their cheekbones and around their eyes. Their cases were some of the earliest indications of a wave of illness that is now swamping India, an epidemic within the pandemic. Infections with a rare group of fungi called mucormycetes. Is that it? Mycetes?
Yep.
Mycetes?
Yep.
All right. The infection they cause, mucormycosis, black fungus, colloquially, can infest the sinuses and the bones of the face. My God. And cause patients to lose an eye, etc. I'm telling you, dear friends, if this comes over here, the panic will be astonishing. I guarantee it. Americans are very much consumed with their appearance. We all know that. And when you look at people's faces consumed with this black stuff that's gone into their sinuses, and you know, if you know about sinuses, they up around your eyes, there are sinus cavities below your eyes. This stuff gets in there, and I don't know how anyone could survive it, really. So yeah. What are they treating it with? Excisions. That's what they say. That's the most common treatment. Pull an eye out. I don't know. It's crazy. You'd think there'd
well,
be...
Go
ahead.
If I had to guess, I you know, this could be a combination of the swabs introducing or breaching the barrier in the sinus cavity with these swabs.
Swabs.
And I mean, yes, diabetes would be a risk factor, uncontrolled diabetes, high blood sugar, low cellular oxygen would be a breeding ground for a variety of infections. Mm-hmm. But the dysregulation that happens with the iron metabolism with either COVID or, and this is a new one on me, apparently the spike protein can also act as a hepcidin mimetic. Now, hepcidin is the protein, the master regulator of iron in your body. And so if we have a spike protein that's being produced in the body that's acting as a hepcidin mimetic, meaning it's acting in the same fashion.
By the billions.
Well, okay, that explains why people's iron metabolism is all messed up. And this is a type of fungus that feeds on iron.
All right. Iron involved with hemoglobin in the blood.
Ferritin.
Involved with female reproduction cycles. This is very interesting what you just said.
And clotting.
This is the worst. There are some people, I ran across a story today, that some people are suggesting that if you can get past the initial injury phase and just tough it out for 4 or 5 months, chances are your body might re-regulate and reset the genetic changes that have been forced upon it with these vaccines. That read like crazy talk to me. That's not the way genetic changes are reversed. And the person tried to justify it by saying, well, radioactivity causes genetic changes and the body can reset those and heal them. Sorry, not the same thing.
No, it's not. There's so many layers of toxicity with these injections. It's hard to fleece out what's doing what. I mean, you've got the nanoparticles themselves that, and I think people don't realize how small a nanoparticle is, that this can go past all barriers. You know, the cell membranes are designed to keep things out or control what comes in and what goes out, and nanoparticles, there's no stopping them because they're so small. They slip right through cell membranes. They get down into the subcellular compartments and dysregulate cellular signaling. And a lot of times once they get into the cell, it's difficult to get them out.
You know, there are actually people out there who are not aware, a lot of them, who are not aware of the simple fact that anyone who gets vaxxed is going to begin to shed, at the very least, it would seem, the spike protein and maybe other things. And that shedding, it's a cross, a horizontal transmission, will make the non-vaxxed sick. In some cases, fatally sick. There are people who just will not believe this.
It's happening.
What do you tell somebody like that? Good luck.
Well, it is interesting. I read a post today in one of the social media groups where a woman, she was a caregiver, and she'd heard the rumors that these vax people were shedding, didn't want to believe it. And she came into the group and, you know, was asking for verification of that. And you could tell she just did not want to accept this. But, you know, within the responses that she got, she had no choice but to accept what people were saying, that it is happening. If you've got all the same symptoms as someone who's been vaxxed, you've been vaxxed too, just not with a needle.
Think about it. If you have all the symptoms of someone who's been vaccinated, injected, you've been vaxxed. Maybe with a lowercase v, and maybe your cells by the billions haven't been formally ordered to begin to produce spike proteins, but you have many of the same results. You're sick.
Yeah.
Man, I have a little bit of a problem thinking that human beings could put this much diabolical, satanic stuff into a program, but I know people are evil enough to do it. And I wonder sometimes if there was some extra intelligence that was involved. This is so evil. And as you said, it's got so many layers and textures. And there was a story that came out today that graphene oxide has been found in, somebody got a vial, an appropriately named container for a vaccine. Somebody got a vial and did some checking, and there was graphene in it. So I'm trying to get people I know to do magnetic field testing on these vials, too. So we'll see. Okay. Hold on. We'll be right back. Okay. To kind of wrap up this black mold update, we're going to watch this. First case that breaks out here will be very interesting, to say the least. I want to watch how the people, how the media handle it. They could play this for all it's worth real quick. Got an email or two here from Dan. All right. He says, mucormycosis is called black fungus, is a fungal infection that is caused by exposure to mold that lives in the soil. It's common to come into contact with these fungal spores because it's found in dust, dirt, and rotting leaves. Well, we understand that about India. India is not a very hygienic country. It's got a lot of stuff. I would suggest that most of the time, even marginally, the people there have enough of an immunological competence that they're not going to come down with mucormycosis. But with SARS and the vax, we know the immune system is kicked in the ass right away and goes downhill from there. And that could make these people obviously more vulnerable to these fungal molds in the soil, wherever. It's a dirty country. Let's just tell it like it is. It's not a hygiene-oriented country. And I think that so many people are being taken down immunologically that the same thing could happen here. We know the immune system is under attack. We know in many cases it's going to virtually be taken offline in people's bodies, so anything could happen. Yes?
I would agree, yeah. And, you know, whether or not we see that particular mold here, it remains to be seen. I mean, those mold spores may be more prevalent in India, or certainly in a tropical, humid environment. I mean, the types of immune, opportunistic infections that we're going to see here might be different. Uh-huh. You know, we might see Kaposi sarcoma.
Wow,
don't know. Time will tell.
There's a golden
But
oldie.
You know, anybody getting fungal infections of that nature, they're immune suppressed. There's something seriously wrong with their immune systems.
Right. Haven't heard Kaposi's since the day I put out one of the first books on AIDS, HIV, AIDS, back in the day, and that was the big one, Kaposi's. People got a lot of that.
And it was a hallmark disease immune deficiency.
There were 30 of them, about. 30 hallmark diseases. Crazy. All right, let's see. I played the Rick Wiles clip for you. It's up in headlines. It's a third story down. I would share that. I think all of you know Rick Wiles from True News, or most of you. He doesn't mess around, and he's a patriot Christian, and I was surprised to see him. He just laid it out in his view. Okay, now let me get down to the other issues we want to talk about. Okay, now, I said graphene nanoparticles. That's what I wanted to go to next and get your take. All right, what do we know? All right, graphene is a toxin. What in the world would it be doing in, or is it a sterilizer, or is it a preservative? What is it?
Well, it's a form of carbon, and I guess you could call it a distinct allotrope, which means a very unique molecular arrangement. It's like a honeycomb, and it's just a flat sheet of hexagons, a single layer. So it's tiny, 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 and it could be used for a variety of things. If it's graphene oxide, it is an antibacterial. Maybe they're putting that in there to keep the solution sterile.
Oh, that's ethylene oxide. They also use too. Don't forget that.
What's that?
Ethylene oxide. There's another one they're putting on Schwab's and who knows what else.
Yes, and that is toxic. But graphene is carbon, but. I would guess that they're putting it in a vaccine like the magnetic nanoparticles to increase the uptake of whatever agent is in this thing that they want, you know, in the mRNA, I imagine, even though they said in that particular vial they did not find any evidence of genetic material or mRNA. So maybe it was just a dummy shot.
Oh, tell me more. I don't know about this. So the vial that was somehow captured by our side had no evidence of DNA, mRNA stuff in it?
Correct.
Wow.
I think that if they do end up publishing the report formally, you know, that's going to require some scrutiny as to what methods they use to analyze it. Mm-hmm. Because it's, you know, to take that type of material and have it really competently analyzed. I mean, you need sophisticated equipment, and you don't just take it down to the corner lab or a university lab. They just can't do it.
Well, it wasn't done over here, by the way. It was done in Spain.
It was in Spain.
Yeah.
And so, but graphene, they're also using graphene for a number of different biomedical applications, one of which is quantum dots.
You're not going to escape with that one. What are quantum dots? You have to tell me.
Well,
everybody.
That's another means of, I guess, tracking.
Tagging, tracking us, surveilling us.
Yes, and it can be used as a biosensor, so it can acquire information of, you know, whatever physiological processes are happening in your body, and then convert that into a signal and have it be transmitted to a cloud or a device. Mm-hmm. There's many, many uses for graphene, and they like it because, for the most part, it's biocompatible. It's carbon.
Right. Got it.
But, you know, it's also nano, so it can also be very disruptive. So, you know, a lot depends on the size, shape, surface charge, and the method of synthesis. Some of the methods that they use to synthesize these nanocarbons are very toxic.
What about people who, there's such denial, and what I'm beginning to see now are more and more stories about people who have gotten the vax and now know that they may have destroyed their lives, whether or not they have immediate response or illness or injury. They're afraid, and they don't know what to do, and no one can really tell them what to do. We don't have much. But let me go back to the horizontal transmission of whatever is doing it, probably the spike that is giving people who have not been vaccinated a profile of someone who has been in terms of injuries, side effects. I hate that term. These are injuries. That's what they are. What do we know about first person, second person? How many gens can we go before the pass along will fade away and stop? All right, I go to the store. Somebody's vaccinated next to me. I inhale spike proteins. I'm going to pay. I'm going to get sick one way or the other. If I go and hang around someone else, how likely is it that I would be able to transmit that to them, second generation? I'm the first.
If it's just a protein that's being shed, I you know, unless there's aerosols on your clothes or something, I don't think that you could transmit something infectious. Well, I don't know. To a third person.
So
I think with each additional contact, it would probably get further diluted.
Yeah. Okay. So first generation problem. Second generation, we don't know. Maybe. But that is all predicated on hard science, which says proteins in and of themselves are not self-replicators. They shouldn't be.
Correct.
But if the spike protein... Go ahead.
If what we're dealing with here is a prion-like protein, generally prions arise from within the individual. There is a prion protein that's present on nerve cells that can be made to misfold and then cause disease, and that comes mm-hmm. from within. Mm-hmm. Then we have the infectious or transmissible prions, but it requires a susceptible host, and then it's got to gain entry into the area where there's an identical protein to cause the misfolding.
Okay. Are we seeing more? Now, one thing that Erica does is monitor social media groups for the injured, for the vaxxed. Are you seeing anything new? Are you seeing trends developing? Notice I didn't say trending. I hate that word.
The sad thing is that the people that have been injured, the recoveries are very prolonged, and you know, one symptom will resolve only to be replaced with another symptom. And these aren't mild. These are really debilitating symptoms that in some cases are bringing people to the brink of suicide.
And somebody gets vaxxed and they're starting to, we think, throw these proteins almost immediately. It doesn't take long.
Yeah. There does seem to be they documented it in that one small study they did at Brigham and Women's with the 13 healthcare workers. They measured their blood serum for the presence of spike protein, and sure enough, within a day, they were producing detectable levels of the spike protein, and it was the S1 subunit that was prevalent in the plasma at that time, and then it peaked on day 5. And then there was another wave of full-length spike protein that was detectable in the plasma at around a week to 2 weeks. And then at the end of 3 to 4 weeks, there were no detectable levels, and there were antibodies present to indicate that they had been neutralized.
Now, these were or were not vaxxed people?
These were vaxxed. These were healthcare workers, young, average age 24, who had received the vax. Now, I think it's important to note that just because at the end of 4 weeks they didn't detect any spike protein in the blood, that doesn't mean their body stopped producing them.
Producing.
It just means they're producing antibodies to neutralize them, which, you know, if that's going to be something that goes on indefinitely, where your body's got to continually generate antibodies to foreign proteins, you can see how that might wear down the immune system.
I remember Van den Bosch saying that there were so many spike proteins, an overwhelming tsunami of them in the body of somebody who's been vaxxed, that the immune system would literally reprioritize its whole game plan and begin to produce robust, super antibodies to take on these spike proteins, to the detriment of all the other things that the immune system was supposed to do. So that's one way the immune system was taken out of the game, just given too much to do with one kind. And these one very robust antibodies supposedly would basically dominate the rest of them to the extent that it would just blow them away. They wouldn't even be a factor.
Yeah, you wouldn't have the flexibility to respond to the mutations that are inevitably going to arise over time. I mean, antibodies are very specific. That's the detriment of these antibodies. They're just specific for this one strain. And you change up you have a mutation, and then they're useless.
How long? I'm going to get back to something else. And anything else new about and I watched, and all, and you did, and all of you out there did the same thing. Who were the groups that were picked to be most critically in need of these wonderful experimental injections, which are not vaccinations? Not. Who were the groups? The first group were the elderly. Oh, we've got to protect the elderly. We've got to inoculate the elderly with this vaccine. Wow.
Yep.
The second group, as I remember it, was the military or healthcare workers, one or the other. And then the next was, so let's just call it a dead heat for a second. Healthcare workers, doctors, nurses, you name it, and then military. So the idea would have been to take out the old people, the useless eaters, neutralize the military and the healthcare workers. And then what do we have left? We have transportation. So you cast a pall over the pilots, which they've done.
Mm-hmm.
That's we have yet to see how that's going to play out. So they've hobbled, or they're in the process of hobbling mass transit, at least in terms of airways. Military could be in real deep trouble real soon. We just don't know. The health, if we lose our first responders, our frontline medical, we're done. As I've said before, there are only 900,000 approximately hospital beds in America. And these are hospital beds that are, we'll call them attended, okay? I was going to say manned, but I don't want the email. So they're attended hospital beds. They're active, and somebody goes into one, they get taken care of. So what, with how many people have been vaccinated now in this country?
Was it 178?
I think it was
million?
Almost 180. Yeah,
okay.
Almost 180. So they're really getting up there near, and these are adults, right? They haven't gotten that many children yet.
Right.
So I don't know how much more obvious it can be what's going on. And for people who deny the reality of these countless, maybe millions of people who have been affected by someone who's been vaccinated simply by being near to them, what do you say to people like that who are in denial? They're just totally blanket denial. What do you say? Next, you can't say anything. You got to move on to the next person. You can't get them to listen. They're not going to listen.
Yeah, they really can't hear you. And even, unfortunately, some of the injured are not, they still do not believe that this could be anything worse or any worse than it would have been to get COVID. That, you know, they're not, I guess, unhappy, or I wouldn't say that's the right word, but they don't regret having done what they did. They feel proud that they made this sacrifice for their fellow human beings, supposedly.
God.
It's the brainwashing is, it goes deep.
Okay. All right. Well, we've touched on the graphene. I wanted to do that. Anything new on the iron issue?
Well, I think you know, it's interesting. I don't know how much of this is coming from the vaccine. It's possible. I'm not saying it's probable, but I think it's a consideration. What is the real purpose of the spike protein? Is it to be a carrier, possibly, for iron? Is it a what they're calling a magnetoprotein, a way of bringing iron, more iron or magnetite into the body for certain purposes?
Shouldn't we be putting magnets on vials then, if we get vials to test? We can do that much. Or will they?
But the interesting thing is, if they've genetically engineered, either they're supplying your cells with the instructions to make a protein that can carry iron or some other metal, then the vials themselves may not be magnetic. So what would happen is your body starts to produce the protein, and the protein codes for you know, let's just say some iron. So when there's iron in the body, that protein will acquire the iron and begin transporting it around. And that would explain the spreading effect.
There are actually still some people who believe that this magnetic effect remains in the general neighborhood or specific neighborhood of the actual injection. They don't understand. Here's the point. Since we don't have a news media in this country, and we don't really have any way to gain access to it to put the information out there, it's all dependent upon who is able to see what on the internet. That's really what it's about at this point. We don't have access to save people, to help people. And that's not going to change anytime soon. I don't know where this is going, but it's not going in a good direction. And I agree with Dr. Tenpenny and others that this fall and winter may be pretty damn rugged. And if you have a relative who's in her 80s or 85, 89, 90, and you think about sanctioning a vaccine for that person, that's really begging for that person's life to be ended.
Yeah.
Whether it's instantly or in slow motion, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, the elderly cannot handle what's in these vaccines. I mean, what they're asking, you know, an aged immune system to do.
No, it's true. Immune systems wear down just like the body does over time, and they are aged. Correct.
And, you know, the elderly were the most, well, one of the groups most at risk for COVID. Why? Because overcoming a coronavirus is highly dependent on having a good T cell function. And that is one of the things that declines with aging. You cannot generate, or you don't have enough naive T cells to deal with a coronavirus infection, a novel coronavirus. And you're essentially, with these vaccines, you're asking the body to do the same thing, but in a highly unnatural way. You're transfecting cells, meaning you're introducing the genetic material into a cell, and now you're asking your immune system to identify which cells have been transfected. That's the same thing you're asking it to do with a natural coronavirus infection, and they can't do it. So they end up, you know, responding in an inappropriate way, getting inflamed and having these cytokine storms, which eventually kills them.
And talking about inflammation, we do talk about heart inflammation, but now, and I have no medical or scientific data to really stand on, but isn't it a possibility that a nearly immediate negative reaction in the brain resulting in inflammation, literally, and swelling, could be causing some of these headaches that are reported?
Oh,
these
yeah.
Vicious headaches?
Yes.
And
yeah,
so what
if
people,
your brain cells, you know, it may be the nanoparticles or magnetite or, you know, the mRNA. If the mRNA is outside of the cell rather than in the cell, that's going to cause an inflammatory response. Or right. Maybe the neurons or microglia or astrocytes have been transfected and are now producing spike protein themselves.
Which could be. So your brain literally could be full of spike proteins.
Yes.
After a few weeks. This is a nightmare stuff that we're talking about. That guy that was autopsied in Denmark or whatever, his whole body, every major organ, was literally crawling, so to speak, with spike proteins, including his brain. This is really, really horrific stuff. Wow. Final comment, Erica, anything you have to say here? You want to put it on the table?
Well, we'll keep our finger on the pulse of it.
Okay, thank you. Thanks again for everything.
Okay, Jeff.
All right, good
Hang
night.
In there. Good
yeah.
night.
Okay, everybody, that's it for tonight. Wow. So much to think about. You got to get to the point where you can walk away from it a little bit and do something else. Go watch that wonderful series Fringe, or that one Lost, which I saw. That was another good one. There were some good things. I was shocked. Anyhow, Fringe was a favorite. So there you go. Have a good night. Talk to you tomorrow night. Take care.